and local advisory board of radio station WBAI has indicated their intention to take WBAI off the air in response to the following demands that were presented this morning, the 11th of February, at 8 o'clock, to an executive session of the board and management of WBAI New York. Their intention is to take the station off the air at 2 o'clock this afternoon. The demands are: we demand management recognize the WBAI union as the sole bargaining agent for the WBAI staff, paid and unpaid. 2. Management must negotiate with the WBAI union through the grievance committee of the WBAI union to resolve whatever grievances members of the WBAI union bring to the attention of said committee. These grievances include recent unilateral actions taken by the management and which management to date has refused to reconsider. 3. There will be a moratorium on any changes from the WBAI format and personnel in effect as of January 1, 1977. New programming principles must be shown to be feasible on a technical and logistical level and to be consistent with Pacifica principles, this to be determined by testing the new programming principles on an experimental basis for a stated period. A. Any features of new programming principles that may be implemented after the moratorium will be selected by the program director in consultation with the WBAI union. After a test period of stated length, these features will be subject to criticism and revision. B. Further adoption of new programming principles will proceed at a mutually agreeable rate and by the selection of the program director and union jointly. C. If both parties cannot come to an agreement in this process of consultation, the matter will be referred to the grievance committee. 4. The program director may not perform more than one job function and may not hold any regularly scheduled programming slot.
You know, I keep thinking of the Trojan horse and the way that they conquered Troy by infiltration and by deception and by cunning and guile.
And by everybody being real excited about getting such a nice present.
Right. And nobody wanting to think what's inside this mysterious object that is liable to poison and destroy us. And isn't it nice to open the gates and let it in? That was my first thought.
May I say something here? Point of privilege, as Robert Knight would barge in and say in the morning, this is Max Schmid. It was not Jim Freud you were speaking to yesterday. It was me, Max Schmid.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
But, you know,
I apologize.
People don't hate me yet the way they hate Freud, so
no,
I just want to set that record straight. And the other record I want to set straight is...
I've been listening for so many hours.
I know.
And I'm kind
have.
Of losing the content myself of who said what.
Okay, but the other thing I want to straighten out, before any misconceptions are firmly planted in the misinformation campaign, that if you read the transcript, I did not hear the actual reference when that Svengali thing came up, but it was the caller and not Utrice Lead
who used the reference first.
You know, they talk about playing the race card. Everybody talks about it. Everybody's doing it. But let's keep the record straight. The transcript is up at Patty's site where you can read it.
But then it was taken up and used very, very definitely as part of the content of the conversation, and it was used as a battering point.
And I will leave you with this. It's more true than you can believe, and I've said all I'm going to say.
Okay.
I'm disgusted with this place.
I have.
Thank you.
Emery.
Thank you, Max.
Thanks.
Yeah, okay. I stand corrected. You know, I have been listening for many hours, and because I'm...
Greetings from the Atlantica Radio Empire with a friendly warning.
A dangerous new radio empire is taking over other radio empires by surprise.
By surprise? That doesn't seem fair.
It isn't fair.
Huh?
Unlike normal radio empires that favor peace or war,
this dangerous new radio empire favors bedlam.
What is the name of this dangerous new radio empire that favors bedlam?
The name of this dangerous new radio empire that favors bedlam is Psychotica.
Psychotica?
Yes, the Psychotica Radio Empire.
It sounds crazy.
It is.
Boing.
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 Boing. Boing.
Beware of the danger signs that bedlam-loving Psychotica has invaded your radio empire.
What are the danger signs?
Are you asked to choose between being a Quisling or a Scab?
Is there a difference between a Quisling and a Scab?
A Quisling fails to keep his loyalties up to date. A Scab can be neutral.
Well, what can we do to protect ourselves from Psychotica?
Atlantica will protect you from Psychotica.
Oh, good!
As long as you are not banned by Atlantica.
Oh, no! How can I avoid being banned by Atlantica?
To avoid being banned by Atlantica, do not listen to this tone.
Those who disobeyed a direct order by Atlantica not to listen to the tone are now banned.
Oh, no!
Thank you, Atlantica. And you're listening to Let Them Talk on the Psychotica Radio Network. And as we head into yet another morning of Psychotic Radio, I have to say I have some of the greatest radio producers in the history of this, since the days of Ray LaForest. What's the guy who invented radio, who really didn't invent it but tried to steal the Italian guy?
It was DeForest. DeForest,
right? He's the guy who said he sold everybody on the idea that he had invented radio, but in fact, it was not invented by him, but everybody thought it was him, and it's still reported today in textbooks that he invented radio, and he was really just an excellent Svengali-type figure in history, and in radio history. Not the first, and not the first, but not the last Svengali in radio, and... I'm learning a lot about this Svengali character. Turns out he was quite the character. He was we have the makers of the cart here. We have Janet Coleman and Dave Dozier. Hi, Janet and Dave. Hi, Bob Fass is
how
here.
Do you do?
Ah. And Joni.
Hi, everybody.
Joni and Randy Steele. Randy, you there?
Hi, everybody. Randy.
We have quite a team here. Randy Steele, for anybody who doesn't know who Randy is, she was the engineer or one of the engineers during the 1977 coup that we heard earlier on the tape.
No, actually, I was the, let's set that straight, because I didn't actually have anything to do with the coup. All I did was be advanced warning of it and have the full tapes of the takeover. So I was kind of the unofficial over-the-air logger.
Right.
Archivist
of the coup. Yeah, and right. Randy has been providing us all these incredible tapes of that 1977.
So we have the voice of the young Bob Fass, the youthful Bob Fass.
That's
true. Slightly...
Jejun.
The jejun Bob Fass.
And I'd just like to correct one thing that Bob said last week. I am not selling the CDs of those. I'm making them available for people because I think they have a lot of... relevance and can hopefully provide a perspective when listened to. And for those who are interested in the compilation that I've put together, we are looking at making up some CDs for those who would like to purchase them, and we'll find one of the appropriate listener groups or support groups to give any money we make off of them to.
Right. I just want to take the opportunity to introduce the music I played at the top of the show, because it was actually a couple of very interesting pieces. One of them was called Smokin' Chiba Chiba, which was done by a group called the Harlem Underground Band.
I love
back
that.
In 1974. They're
how do you
the
spell
folks.
It?
A Harlem Chiba
Band.
Band. B-A-N-D.
How do you spell Chiba?
C-H-E-B-B-A. C-H-E-E-B-A, as in Chiba Chiba. And they, along with a couple of DJs of the time in the Bronx, came up with the term Chiba Chiba for marijuana, and that was the first song that mentioned it. And before that, we heard Dakota Song by Captain Stringbean, who we've had on the show a few times, and a great...
What does he look like?
Tall, thin, young guy.
It wasn't like the first song that mentioned it.
It is green.
Chiba Chiba was the first. That's according to, well, I did some research for an interview that Brother Shine did for Russell Simmons. That's going to, with Russell Simmons, the impresario, rap impresario.
Have you ever heard that old blue, I guess it's like a sort of a stride piano song, Without My Walking Stick? I'd go insane.
That could be it. Well, Captain Stringbean is a great musician. Young kid, really, he was on the show. Joni, remember?
He was a songwriter, yeah.
Really good. An unheard-of guy who's, like, just really great, and I'd like to hear more of him.
And Rosetta Howard and the Harlem Hamfats with Dreamed About a Reef of 5 Foot Long.
Well, that's another era. That's the other.
Oh, another era.
That's right. Another era.
Yeah, that's the trouble with
before
you.
Before Walking Sticks.
You think that other eras were on another planet.
Well, I do have Anthony Sloan turn me on to this record, which I still have at home. And now that I have a CD burner, I'm going to... by the way, Joni, I broke down and went and bought a nice CD burner to make our own CDs. I've been making CDs like crazy the last couple of days since I'm lonely. You're not around, so I have to spend my time doing something. So I've been burning CDs like crazy.
If Anthony J. Sloan is listening, I have his Ross on Roland Kirk CD. Right. Want to burn it?
He turned me on to this album called T-Pad Songs. It was ancient. I mean, it's so crackly and old. But it's a wonderful album that has at least 30 songs on it about pot.
On the Stash label.
It could be. I didn't check. Could
well,
be.
It should be.
Yeah.
It is.
And I played it here once. I just got to, I've lost contact with my vinyl these days, and that's why I want to turn it all into CDs at some point. But anyway, here we are. You know, at the, week two of the crisis? Week three, something like that?
I don't remember.
I forgot. I've lost track.
It's like a 24-hour operation.
The 24-hour-a-day crisis. By the way, was this a war somewhere? Or did somebody get kidnapped? Did a bomb go off somewhere in some country somewhere?
Alan Greenspan dropped the rate.
Oh, right. The rate got dropped. The rate.
But it doesn't matter because the tax gets cut.
Right. Now, what do we mean by... we've heard a lot. I mean, let me, Janet, we have you on. What do you think of all of this, Janet? Let me put it to you.
Which thing? The tax gets cut and Alan Greenspan and all that? Or here and now in this place, Psychotica? I mean, Erotica? What do we call it? What are we calling us?
Piranica.
I mean, it was a kind of strange elision between suddenly, well, there was that thing in Florida, and then everybody went, oh, yes, now the Bush is president, and now we have this. How did that happen? Now, is that just, extra stuff to keep us going? Is it? Are we in an alternate universe? What happened
here? It's the era.
It's the era of the vote?
The end of an era.
The end of the vote. Is that what it is? It's just that we're imploding upon ourselves now. We don't even know what happened to us. We don't know what hit us.
Do you know the Miami Herald is counting these ballots, right? And that they've counted one county already and Gore's won.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And they got 140 extra votes off of just one county alone recount with a bonded world-famous auditing company that's doing it all. And
speaking of counted weighed and found wanting, this is WBAI in New York.
WBAI at 2:05 in the morning. And by the way, it's very interesting that I heard that. I haven't read this anywhere. I just heard it sort of like secondhand, but I like to research it, that Christy Todd Whitman has suggested publicly and openly that the ballots in Florida be frozen for 10 years.
What?
That the ballots be... Christy Todd Whitman publicly came out, and maybe someone can confirm this for me, and said the ballots in Florida must be frozen, kept out of the public eye for 10 years.
But I don't think it's her job in the environmental
protection. Sorry, that's not what she said.
What did she say?
She said, ooh... let me frisk him.
Well, is that like frisking. Freezing people when they die and then you bring them back to life later?
I think it's the Warren Commission. I think they're doing that all over again.
That's right.
Right.
Good point.
And I don't know the logic, except I've listened to American politicians all my life, and I know what the logic is. I know exactly. They'll sit down there and they'll say that it's more important to create in the minds of the people the feeling of legitimacy than it is to know the truth.
Oh.
See, people might object.
They will say, what always amazes me is how many people in this country would vote in favor of such an opinion. That's what's scary.
Would agree with that.
Oh, yeah. I think probably most people on the street would agree with that, and that's what's unfortunate.
Well, do you think we shouldn't be so concerned with the Psychotica Erotica matters and be more concerned with the count in Florida? Aren't they one and the same, really?
If we could, that would be a good idea.
But why can't we? What's the matter with us? Why can't we?
I think COINTELPRO is in full effect.
It's the same COINTELPRO?
Yeah, I think the idea is
in both situations
to get people to fight with each other, so nobody wants to give.
Oh, that's what they said in Grenada.
Right. Well, the government's very good at getting people to fight with each other over crumbs. I mean, I lived on the Lower East Side for 20 years, and I've seen blood spill over crumbs. It's amazing what you see blood spilled over. And then you turn around and you know that in the middle class suburbs, people are, you know, going home with 6 or 7 figure salaries like nothing, and laughing their ass off at people in the poor neighborhoods fighting over $30.
In Houston. What are the salaries like in Houston?
Oh, for the show, for the station. I haven't been able to get. I talked to Otis.
Information,
he
huh?
said,
"Yeah,
what is
Otis?"
I'll tell you what happened. I got a phone call from somebody in KPFA who I trust their opinion, and they told me something that I have confirmed, that Garland Ganter and his wife both work together at the station in Houston, which is.
It's wonderful. You and Joey work.
Right. It's not against the law. It's in some situations,
exactly.
It's considered a little weird.
David, right.
But it's not necessarily a bad thing. Now I heard, and I haven't been able to confirm this, is that they each make $90,000 a year. And yeah. Otis said he didn't think so. But a very good source told me this story.
Well, maybe that's why they're
just
looking
for call him and ask him.
Call him now.
Yeah.
Should be a matter of public record.
Right.
Yeah.
Does his family make $180,000 a year off of Pacifica? And I want to know, if it's not true, then we should squash the rumor right away. You know?
Next, you'll be telling me that somebody is renting offices in their mother's house.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're not using Mexican pesos there in Houston, are they?
$90,000.
Have you seen the new dollar bill, the new dollar coins that look like pesos?
Yeah.
Wonder what they have in mind
for the border.
That as invasion currency.
Oh, well, we're a banana republic now, so they've got to start somewhere.
Right. Mm. Well, you know, as I said, these things aren't by themselves. You know, 10 years of covering politics in Lower East Side and politics in New York City, I know, and what most people don't really understand, are probably shocked to know how little is illegal. You know, very much of what politicians do that a lot of people would scream about and consider, well, that must be illegal, are perfectly legal. Corruption really is a very specific crime that is really traced down to a specifically proven quid pro quo. I will give you this in return for that.
So it's easy to do it, right?
Right. If you, as long as you don't have a quid pro quo, you can do anything.
All right,
and I've seen plenty, and where they laughed in my face, and they said it's legal.
Well, I think Governor Pataki came up with a whole new set of things that are illegal today.
Oh, yeah. What are those?
It's not too good for regular folks when they have a lot of things that are illegal. I think it's guns. I think
Now, did you hear about, you know, speaking about Svengali figures in history?
Yeah.
I was reading. Most people might have heard this. I don't know. You know that there was a jailbreak in Texas. 7 inmates escaped. They stole 40 weapons in the course of the escape.
Ooh, la, la.
They robbed a gun store and killed a police officer. Then they stole a whole bunch of police scanners, and they've been on the run. And they left a message. In the message, they said that they are not finished. They're going to come back and settle scores at the prison. And every cop in Texas is now wearing bulletproof vests and looking out their back of their heads.
They are.
Right.
Wait, you remember Tiarina?
Now, this is interesting. All 7 convicts, 2 killers, 2 armed robbers, a child abuser, a serial rapist, and a burglar are being sought on capital murder charges for the police officer's slaying. Revis, here's the guy here. Right?
Yes, and these bad guys will soon be in your neighborhood.
The leader is a guy by the name of George Revis,
who's
serving a life sentence for aggravated robbery and kidnapping and has been implicated in more than a dozen robberies. Investigators have portrayed Revis as fearless and shrewd, with a powerful hold over the others.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Svengali.
Svengali.
Sing.
And they're going to go back to the jail?
No. Yeah, they said they left a note. Let me find what they said. They left a note saying, you haven't heard the last of us yet. They left a note on the body of the dead officer.
Ooh.
You haven't seen the last of us yet.
Mm.
Do you know this New Hampshire state senator who was elected the other day? In the election, he's a Republican state assembly person or state representative in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. It turned out that during his campaign and different times in his life, he is openly called for murdering police officers. He ran twice as a Libertarian and once as a Democrat and lost, and won on the fourth try as a Republican.
And he was elected?
And wow, he was elected.
That's a determination.
He was elected, and the entire state of New Hampshire is up in arms, and he said that he doesn't step
killing,
back.
They're not. He didn't inspire.
He said, if
people.
A police officer comes into my home, I'm going to kill him. He said that straight up, and he said, and he advocated if anybody, a police officer tries to go into your home, kill them. Is that's what he advocated? This guy, and the New Hampshire state senator, and the police officers in New Hampshire said that if they ever get any calls to his home, they're going to definitely go with bulletproof vests on. Truth is stranger than fiction. Believe me,
right,
truth is much stranger than fiction.
Bulletproof vests are moving like crazy.
I know.
How can we invest in these?
It's the latest thing.
Right.
Soon you'll be able to buy them at the Gap.
Right.
Not yet, though. How much is... How much